This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
The question, of course, of whether or not the Democrats are going to coalesce around Mike Bloomberg continues today. It's Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day. Will having fewer kids save the planet? That's a good question, right? Will it? No, it says. They will not. It will not save the planet, according to a new story from Vox. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. The Cioli Show on Twitter at Rich Cioli and Facebook.com/Cioli Show. Yes, on Friday. Happy Friday. All right. First of all, you might be wondering to yourself, how are the Democrats doing after New Hampshire and Iowa? For that, we'll turn to the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, who was asked a question during her weekly press conference about how Democrats are doing after the chaos of Iowa, cut four.
So we're calm, cool, and collected. This is not, I mean, just because some people may be speaking out about not liking one candidate or another, that's the Democratic way. That's politics. It's a messy business. I remind you of how it was when the Republicans had their primary in the last election 4 years ago, how messy that was. But this is, we're calm, we're cool, we're collected, we have faith in the American people, and we'll be guided by their judgment as we go forward.
Know what else is messy? The artery in your neck, that vein, when you try to eat that, you try to rip into that, messy.
It's a
messy process. You know what else is messy? Raiding a blood bank. It's messy. Just saying. She sounds very peppy, does she not?
She does.
She has a little transfusion. We're cool. We're bad.
Yeah, calm. Now we're cool, calm, and collected.
Cool, calm, collected.
Ah. Yeah, she had a nice little drink last night, a nice blood smoothie for Valentine's Day.
It's a nice delicious. Catholic grandmother.
Catholic grandmother. Very nice. Maxine Waters would like California to be the first Democrat primary. They got great parties. They got big money.
What?
Oh, yeah. This is, of course, Maxine Waters. You remember her from Impeach 45.
Yes.
The lowest low-energy chant in the history of chants. Impeach 45.
Or not.
Impeach him. This is Maxine Waters, Stay Woke, cut two.
Then one final thing, and it's just about the fiasco that Iowa has been the last couple of weeks and the primary process from here on out. California has moved up its primary. It's going to assert more weight going forward. Iowa obviously will assert less. So how do you think that's going to affect who becomes the nominee in your party this time around and in the future?
Well, I think my state is extremely important, and that is why we moved up our primary. As you know, we have candidates who fly out to Los Angeles from everywhere to raise money. As a matter of fact, it had gotten so that you would have two, three, four at a time in Beverly Hills having dinners. And some of our contributors who were very rich were holding, you know, fancy parties, trying to accommodate the requests for donations and contributions.
Wait, stop.
And
this
so-
we need to do a remake of the Beverly Hillbillies. Maxine Waters style, with candidates coming there to strike it rich. There's gold in them hills. Gold. Liquid gold, right? Oil, liquid gold. That's what I mean, that's what it says. It's out, they're very rich people. They come out, they give money, they're very rich. They fly out there, take our money, have some shrimp, canapés, head on back.
She's very excited.
Very excited.
Wow.
This is the party that wants to take money out of politics, but come to California. We got lots of it. We'll give it to you. This is the party that doesn't want people flying on planes. Fly out to California.
Barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crew.
And that is why we moved up our primary. As you know, we have candidates who fly out to Los Angeles from everywhere to raise money.
That's it.
As a matter of fact, it had gotten so.
Do you think Jeb, what's his name in the Beverly Hillbillies?
Jethro?
Jethro.
Jethro. You think Jethro's holding some fundraisers out there? At his bed, at his house? Oh, man. Yeah. Please don't fly. It's bad for the environment. But fly out here in your private jet. Raise money. Don't take money. It's bad for politics. But take California money. And then go back and have a nice party when you're there. Now, you think any of those homes have gates around them?
No. Yes. Yes, actually.
Oh, no. None of them have gates
or
fences.
None of them
walls.
Do, right? How about, do you think any of those homes have armed security guards?
Oh, no. Nah.
Definitely not, right?
No.
All right. I'm just curious. I didn't think so either.
It's wide open.
Come on in. It's welcome. You can come into one of those homes and claim sanctuary. Like, who's the guy that's married to Barbara Streisand or was, right? I'm sure Babs throws some parties.
Yeah.
I think Babs, anybody can walk in, have pancakes, just come on in.
Is it Brolin?
Yes.
Yeah. James.
Josh. James.
No, no.
James.
No, Josh is the kid.
Josh is Thanos. Yeah. Josh Brolin. He's Thanos, right? You know what, Greg, if you could please continue with
me. As a matter of fact, it had gotten so that you would have two, three, four at a time in Beverly Hills having dinners. And some of our contributors who were very rich were holding, you know, fancy parties, trying to accommodate the requests for donations and contributions. And so, you know, the conclusion, the thinking is that if we are supplying tremendous dollars to candidates, we ought to have more say. And of course, beyond that, a lot of people have come to the conclusion that it should not simply be Iowa and New Hampshire, that certainly they are not reflective of the makeup of this country.
They have no money, no fancy parties, no rich people.
What's
in Iowa or New Hampshire?
Iowa and New Hampshire are getting really put upon.
Yeah, everybody hates them.
Everybody hates them. They're like, those two states, too many white people.
Bunch of poor white people with no money and no fancy parties. Not like California, with lots of rich white people and fancy parties.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
I mean, they technically need to win New Hampshire and Iowa, right?
You would think, right?
Yeah,
would think.
Okay.
But come to California. We got fancy parties. We got shrimp. They pass around the shrimp on a platter. You can dunk it in a sauce if you like.
Double
or
dunk.
Just eat it plain. You can double dip if you like, although with the coronavirus, we don't advise that anymore now. No double dipping, please. Let's see here now. Mike Bloomberg, and I'll play this Bloomberg cut in a second. He's a man of words here. Let's see here. Oh, yes. Let's see. Russian pranksters.
Oh, this is... Oh, boy.
Tricked Bernie Sanders. Now, this is fantastic. This is a video now, all right? And before I do that, let me take a quick call. Let me take a quick call. Because Ralph has been holding... Ralph's in Broomall, and then I'll play this amazing cut. Yes, Ralph, good morning.
Hey, Rich, good morning. How you doing?
Doing well.
You know, it's funny, in reference to Maxine Waters with the impeachment, as I'm speaking to you now, I'm actually wearing a T-shirt that says, repeat 45, repeat 45.
Nice.
That's timing. But anyway, I was getting into the Bernie Sanders thing. You know, the other day when it came up about the connection with the Brooklyn Dodgers, you know, I was a kid in Brooklyn then, and like Bernie, we were really upset that our team left and everything else. And he was thinking about, you know, the big corporations, the rich guys, they stole our team. And maybe I felt that way as well back in 1958. But the other thing was the Rosenberg spy scandal that was happening. See, that was in Brooklyn. That was happening, and it was really bad news. But the thing of it is, it's exposing. There was a lot of communist sympathizers in Brooklyn at that time. And unfortunately, some of these people were the parents of people who are around today. And I really would like to research. I would like to look into Mr. and Mrs. Sanders, see where they stood on issues. I'm starting to connect dots, Rich.
Yeah, no, listen, you're breaking up, Ralph. It's a great point, though. I mean, Bernie has obviously been a sympathizer of the Soviet Union. He went there on his honeymoon. There's a video of him shirtless, drinking vodka, hanging out with everybody, and singing Arlo. What do you got three? What do you got three? But the Russians are going to prank Bernie, even though he loves them. They're not going to not prank him. I mean, look, if you were going to have a legitimate conversation about which candidate is most likely to be influenced by the Russians, by Russian propaganda, or to do what the Russians really want, it's obviously the guy who honeymooned in Russia. Obviously the guy who praised the Soviet Union's subway system. Come on. But it doesn't mean that the old commie can't get pranked by a good by his fellow commies. You know what I mean? Commies love to prank each other. And in this case, now the video opens with an individual who sounds like and identifies himself as Bernie Sanders, one of the front runners in the Democrat presidential primary, asking to speak with Greta Thunberg, the teen climate activist who was named Time's Person of the Year. All right. Take a listen.
Hi, this is Senator Bernie Sanders calling for Greta.
Yes, this is Swanza, Greta's father, and Greta is here.
Hi, Senator Sanders.
Hi, Greta. How are you?
He's pretty good, this guy.
Hi, nice to meet you.
It is nice
to talk to you. Nice to talk to you.
Well, listen, thanks for the opportunity to chat. And I just wanted to congratulate you on the extraordinary role you are playing in rallying young people and people throughout the world on this terrible, terrible crisis of climate change.
Oh, thank you, Senator Sanders. Thank you so much. And I want to say something to you. So my friends in the United States, as well as many stars of show business, have said a lot of good words about you, that you are the person who is now mostly needed, not only in America, but in the world.
Well, thank you very much. Well, look, I think, why don't you tell me for a moment, you have been all over the world, I know. What kind of responses are you getting? Do people, young people, understand the severity of the problem?
We think that the problem is big corporations.
Yes, because everybody thinks that everything is fine and there is no problems outside.
Well, you're doing an incredibly wonderful job. And I'll tell you what gives me a little bit of hope. Well, let me just say one of the very sad things that's happening now. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a president of the United States now who not only does not recognize the crisis of climate change, but he is actually encouraging more production of fossil fuels. He's doing exactly the wrong thing.
So we can cooperate together.
We would like to help you in your campaign in some way. What is the best thing to do?
Well, you know, what's amazing about this, of course, is that this is not Bernie Sanders. It just sounds like Bernie Sanders. And this was on Breitbart, by the way. This is an amazing, amazing look into what the Russian propaganda can really do. You know, they have those deep fakes now. And this is a deep fake of Bernie's voice. I mean, that guy is nailing it right here, is Bernie Sanders.
I asked Greg, and I go, Greg, is that Scioli?
Yeah, it's not me. No, that's okay, why I had so to find out. It's Breitbart, okay. But it's amazing. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210.
And you know, Bernie, I'm about to turn 18.
Yeah, well, she's still a little young for him. So.
She's 17.
Yeah, she's a little young. We don't want to suggest Bernie's a total perv, you know. but, I mean, this is what can happen now in the election. These deepfakes are absolutely amazing.
The Rich Scioli Show on your schedule. This is the Scioli Show podcast.
Earlier, I mentioned how the president was speaking out against Roger Stone's conviction and the 9-year sentence that he got. Yesterday, Judge Napolitano was on Fox and Friends saying that Roger Stone deserves a retrial. And the question that I had was, how does the woman on the jury who's a foreman who ran for Congress and has this whole record on social media of these anti-Trump comments, was trashing Roger Stone, you know, that alone should give Roger Stone the ability for a mistrial. If it were you and you found out that the jurors were so against you, so biased against you, you would have grounds for an appeal like anybody else would. Roger Stone's no exception to that. Rich is in Conshohocken on the issue. Rich, good morning.
I have a nuanced point. You know, I don't even understand how this woman gets into the jury selection process. I've been on a jury before, and it's like the village people. It's a wide variety of people. This almost doesn't seem like it's random, her being in the jury pool. It'd be like one of Trump's nephews being in the jury pool. You understand my point?
I do. Yeah.
I mean, no, it's one thing to be selected, but to be there, it suggests to me that these prosecutors have the ability to put people in the jury pool to select from.
Well, the defense
attorney...
Doesn't
it strike you as odd that this,
look,
Clinton would be in the jury pool?
Okay, she's not in the jury pool, but your point is valid. You don't have to go. You don't have to make an outrageous point like that, right? You can just focus on this juror.
No, I'm taking it to the extreme because I think it's a nuanced point.
You don't need to. The jury is supposed to be unbiased. If the defense attorney did not do his job to find out whether or not she is biased, or maybe he did and maybe she was just lying. See, that's why you have grounds for an appeal if you find something out like this after the trial. Thanks for the call. Appreciate the call, Rich. You don't need to have a prosecutor purposely putting Hillary Clinton on the jury. If a juror is not honest in the process of when they select you, if a juror does not come out clean and say, yeah, I hate the president or I hate the guy, and then the juror's lied. And if you find this stuff out later, it's grounds for an appeal. It's grounds for a mistrial. The process of selecting jurors is an important one. And, you know, both sides, the prosecutor and the defense attorney, they have to believe that the juror is being honest. If somebody sits there and says, they go, OK, do you believe in the death penalty? And the person says, you know what, I don't have an opinion either way. All right, Your Honor, we'll keep this member of the juror of the jury. We'll keep him. And you find out afterward, when he sentenced the guy to die, that he's been the leading proponent of the death penalty for the last 25 years. I mean, the first thing the defense attorney is going to do is file an appeal and say, Your Honor, we were misled during the voir dire process of jury selection. So you don't even need to have an overly overtly biased person on the jury. You just have to have a juror who's not honest. And my guess is that's exactly what happened here. This woman hated Roger Stone, hated Trump. And they probably asked her about it during the voir dire process, and she probably just was not honest. Or lied. And you find all this stuff out, it grounds for a mistrial. Grounds for a new trial. The jury has to be unbiased. That is a sacrosanct hallmark of our justice system. You cannot have a jury pool that is tainted. You can't. Can't do it. You got to make sure that they go in there with an open mind. Everybody has a sense of where they stand on an issue. That's okay, but you can't be so overly biased because then you're not going to do your job as an impartial juror. So that's the issue. 855-839-1210. John is in Woodbury. John, good morning.
Hey, Rich. I found out last night on the Tucker Show that actually the judge picks the jury, not his attorney. It's not a cooperation between the prosecution and the defense. This really boils down to her. And being who the judge is, I really have a problem with this. But federal courts, the judge picks the jury. And she interviews them.
I don't know the segment you're talking about, and I didn't see the segment. But all I will tell you is that I think it's very obvious from what she's been saying that there's grounds for a mistrial. John, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. All right. Now, and a retrial, by the way, as a mistrial. Mistrial and then a new trial if they want to try to go ahead and try them again. Go ahead. I mean, you know, they can try, but I don't think the Justice Department would be wise to do that, is my sense of it. And you know what the president could ultimately do if he wants to? Just pardon Roger Stone and just end it. Just pardon him and then it's over, right? I mean, he could do that. But how would you like it if you went into a situation where you've been charged with a crime and you find out that the jury, the foreman of the jury was biased against you the whole time, the entire time? You know, how would you feel? I think you'd be pretty upset, would you not? You would be pretty upset by that fact. Al is in Newfield. Al, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Once again, I wanted to correct your misunderstanding and your failure to educate your listeners. The jury process has plenty of opportunities for challenge in it. The defense attorney gets plenty of challenges. Experienced attorneys utilize that. The judge uses it because they don't want their case overturned for any reason. And to say that because somebody told a fib, they're going to overturn your case is absurd.
Why?
And you keep saying that.
Why?
You
hang on a second. You'd be okay with finding out that the foreman of the jury that your jury hated your guts, but never told the attorneys that in the voir dire process. You'd be okay with that?
That process.
Would you be okay with that? Yes. Just answer my question, please. Would you be okay with that?
I'm okay with finality of when they walk out of the courthouse.
You find out that after it's over, the jury person comes out and says, you know what, I've known Al forever. He's a scumbag. I hate him, and I'm so glad to see him go to prison. You're telling me that you'd be okay with that. You wouldn't ask your attorney to file an appeal. Yes or no?
But yes, when they come back out there, if they say Rich, if they say I knew Rich Zeoli and I never told anybody, that would be one thing.
Right.
But if they say Rich Zeoli's a scumbag, too bad.
No, they just didn't like it. And then you find out before that they've had a long history of saying Alan Newfield is a scumbag. And they've been posting on it for in social media. They saw you one day at Wegmans and they just didn't like your look. And for years now, they've been saying what a jerk you are. You're telling me you would not tell your attorney to file an appeal.
But here's where it would happen. On post-conviction review,
I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to ask you the question again. You find out after you've been found guilty of a crime or in a civil court, you've been ordered to pay a fine. You find out that the foreman of the jury has a personal vendetta against you. Are you, Alan Newfield, going to ask your attorney to file an appeal, yes or no? Go ahead.
On post-conviction
I'm going to ask you again. Are you going to ask your attorney to file an appeal based on the fact that it's discovered after the verdict is handed down that this juror has hated your guts the whole time? Yes or no?
The challenge that
All right, goodbye. You're full of it if you're telling me the answer is no. You're full of it. Or you're an idiot. Because no person in their right mind would ever say, nah, I'll go to prison or nah, I'll pay that fine. No big deal. Ah, she snuck by us in voir dire. What are you going to do? Ah, what are you going to do? No big whoop. Happens. No biggie. No big deal. Come on. At least be honest with me. You know, at least when you put yourself in the shoes of somebody else, at least then turn around and go, you know what? You're right. It's true. I get it. I would hate it too. 855-839-1210. So Joe Biden went on The View yesterday, by the way. And I got to play that for you. With his lovely wife, Jill Biden. She really is a very, very beautiful woman.
She is. She's lovely.
He should have had her on the campaign trail, and he should have stayed home.
Stop.
That's what he should have done. Like presidents used to do in the old days when they campaigned. They never actually went out and campaigned. They just stayed home. They would send surrogates out. That's what he should have done.
She's quick, too. She's good on the trail. She is.
Yeah. Yeah, she is good. She's very good. I'll play that in just a second. Tommy's in Bucks. Tommy, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I always thought, I might be wrong, but when you're in jury selection, you're subject to perjury if you lie, and at minimal, it's at least contempt of court if you're purposely lying.
I would agree, and I would tell you that judges don't look kindly on it, that's for sure. If they ever discover it, they'll throw your ass off the jury and hold you in contempt, yeah.
And yeah, if they find out about it in the course of a trial. Even if you lied to try to get out of it, that they were going to hold you in contempt.
Sure.
Yeah. It's news to me that the federal. I like you to look into that to see if the judge did.
I don't know the particulars of the case, and I don't. It's not worth going back and forth. Not every federal case is like that, obviously. Not every federal case is.
But you're right.
Jury,
you know, if this was anybody else, they'd be shouting, "No justice, no peace." You know,
of course, and everybody with their right mind and a belief in the Constitution and the system of being innocent until proven guilty would be chanting it right along with them. It's amazing how things flip. Tommy, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All righty. It's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. We're supposed to wear red today. Dawn's wearing red. I see. I did not wear my red today.
I got the memo.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. You got your memo. Good.
Yes.
Excellent.
For not just Valentine's Day, but the American Heart Association.
Oh, that's right. I was supposed to do that. I forgot. Yeah. I saw the memo. I just forgot. Oh, well. I'm wearing blue, red boxers today.
See?
Prove me wrong. remember yesterday we talked about the hockey guy?
Jeremy Roenick.
Right. And his joke about being in a threesome. Remember
yes.
that? And somebody on Twitter pointed out to me that there was an episode of HGTV that had a throuple. They were house hunting. It was a throuple. It's a throuple, and they had that on there. And we have a little bit of audio of that as well. And I'm gonna play that because what's fascinating, of course, is that HGTV shows a throuple. So I guess now that's becoming socially acceptable now to be in a throuple.
No.
But if you joke about it, you lose your job. Like if you joke about being in a throuple, that you get fired. But if you're in a throuple, you get on HGTV.
Well, no, the
the issue was that he was joking about his wife and his wife's good friend who was vacationing with them. The trouble is the wife's good friend is also one of his coworkers.
Right. So you can't have a throuple with your coworker.
Yeah. So
you can have another throuple.
Well, I guess you could, but you just can't talk about it.
Don't talk about the throuple.
Yeah.
So like Fight Club.
Yeah. He wasn't too smart. He should not have talked about it.
Right, so he jokes about, somebody makes a comment about his wife and his co-host being together, right?
Yeah.
And the three of them. And he goes along with a joke about that.
Right.
Loses his job for the joke about it, right?
Yes.
But had he actually been in a throuple, he would have been on HGTV House Hunters.
Right.
He and his wife and his co-host could have all picked out a house together.
See, I think he should play this as he's the victim.
Yes.
Because he is looking at they're very fit. And he's like, you know, middle-aged and feeling he's kind of insecure. He sounds a little insecure. Maybe he even thought his wife was going for a younger woman.
There you go.
See, if he went down that road that he was just feeling insecure.
Yes. Yeah.
Then that might have saved his job. He's the victim.
This is a little bit of the thruple from HGTV that was on, I guess, two nights ago.
I am a lifestyle coach. I am a legal videographer.
I work in sports marketing.
We're a thruple. A thruple is three people in a relationship.
Lori and I got married in 2002, and we have two kids, Jake and Isla, 10 and 12. I understood from day one, even when we were dating, that Lori was bisexual and had interest in women and men. And so we evolved to a point where we were comfortable having another woman in our lives.
How we met is a very romantic story at a bar. I didn't
Let
plan
me
on
stop it right there real quick. When did this become socially acceptable to be in a throuple? When did this happen? When did I miss this change in society?
It didn't.
It's just a media thing.
Wait, no,
it's on HGTV.
Wow. Doesn't make it.
Showtime has a show on this called Polyamory, I believe is the name of the show. This is a thing now. But when did it happen? I feel like there was a memo I missed or something.
Did he miss a memo there, Greg? Greg is the
I don't know. Is Greg here today? Is Greg on the, are you around today? You here? You hanging out?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's right here. Right. He's checking the memo file.
He's checking the memo, seeing if there's a memo on the thruple. It just seems like if this was going to be a thing in society that we would have had a conversation about it all. It doesn't seem odd that this is now an HGTV thing with they're a threesome and they're buying a house together. It doesn't seem odd.
It does, but... You know,
I don't know.
They're trying to get ratings, I guess. I don't know what to say. So
my other question is, how many, do we stop at a threesome or can you like a fivesome? We're a fivesome. I'm curious.
Remember the show, like, Eight is Enough?
Is that what it is? The new Eight is Enough.
That's four women and one guy?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Wow.
That would be a fivesome.
Yeah.
Well, what would you call that? A quint? No, I don't know, Matt.
I would call it high maintenance.
Yeah, right. That's a lot of Valentines to buy.
Yes.
That's a lot of Valentines to buy, right?
It's expensive.
So my point is that Jeremy Renick gets fired for making a joke about this, but the thruple is on HGTV buying a house together, and they're like, look at this, progress. So why doesn't he sue NBC Sports and say, how dare you discriminate against my kind? But my thruple kind. The thruple.
He's a victim.
He's a victim.
I like it.
Right? He should use the HGTV show as evidence and say, you know what? We wanted to live our life as a thruple. And you, NBC Sports, come along and you wind up discriminating against my people. And we are fighting back. So you got to think like a victim if you want to make progress here. You know what I mean?
I agree that if he went on the victim side. You know what the problem is? After you did this, there were so many people in the building said, you know, he's kind of a jerk. Like
Yeah, well, Greg said he's a jerk.
I did.
Well, I didn't.
I don't know him, but I mean,
yeah, that he had a.
Why would you out me?
I know. I wasn't going to out you.
Well, he's not here. It's not like he's in the room with us. Well,
no, I'm just saying that he has a reputation for being a bit of a, you know.
So if he
not
were like,
nice guy,
yeah. So
not
if he were
nice
like
guy.
A great guy, and not a Trump supporter,
right.
He probably would still have a job.
Probably would still have a job.
Yeah.
But it sounds like the thruple of HGTV. By the way, how did the episode end? Did they get a house together, the thruple? Did they find a nice house?
Bill, did you watch it?
No, Bill?
I did not watch it. But all those shows, my assumption is yes, based on how those shows end.
Thruple's just a big scam, right? It's just a guy who once.
Guy who can't make his mind up.
The guy who's horny.
Yeah.
No, no, it's not. It's not horny. It's like, I mean, it's a guy who is not willing to commit to one. Right. So now he's opened the door to having,
or maybe has bad credit, so he finds two women to help him with that.
In this, the beginning of this episode, they go into detail about how they became a throuple, and it was actually the wife, because the wife, I believe, he said the husband described her as bisexual, and she got attracted to the female.
I understand that, but my point is the guy is not making his mind up to say, well, I'll see you, and then go find a monogamous relationship.
Right,
he wants
okay.
to eat, have his cake and eat it too, as they say,
right? Oh, of
right?
course. Yes. Yeah.
I see. Isn't that obvious? So the throuple thing is now, so now my question is this now. Can you get benefits as a throuple? Like, can you get health insurance, life insurance? Is that coming, you think?
Oh, gee. I didn't even think of that.
I mean, hear a little more
child custody.
Yeah, let's hear a little more of this. Go ahead.
How we met is a very romantic story at a bar. I didn't plan on being in a relationship with a married couple, but it just happened very naturally, organically.
In this country, of course, you can only be married to one other individual. And so we joined with Angelica in a commitment ceremony we held in Aruba a few weeks ago.
Stop. This has nothing. Stop. Do you remember the bet I made you years ago, Greg?
Yes.
So I bet that at some point it's going to be legal to be in a more than one person marriage.
It was you, me, you, and a former program director.
Correct.
Right? Yes.
Yeah, and I said at some point it's going to be legal because the throuple could sue.
Yep.
Right, and say that they're being denied their 14th Amendment rights to all be together.
Yes.
They had a commitment ceremony in Aruba. They're all committed, and when he dies, he can't leave his money to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't. You know what I'm saying? So the throuple. This is the next thing. It's coming. Yeah, it's the throuple thing.
Oh,
coming.
Geez.
Coming to a courtroom near you. Mark my words. Dawn doesn't believe me. You don't believe me, Dawn.
No.
You don't see it happening.
No, it'll be the new marriage debate.
Yeah,
right? In the day, this will make the gay marriage debate look like, you know, nothing. Right?
Totally.
So it'll be the new marriage debate.
They'll go, I don't understand. Why does it have to be just two people? We're three people and we love each other. Why does it have to just be two? I thought love is love is love. And then they'll get their own flag and they'll get their own. You got to have a color. You gotta,
what would that
right?
flag be?
I don't know. I mean, would it be just three colors?
Jeremy Roenick is going to look to be ahead of his time.
Jeremy Roenick is going to, right.
He's a prophet.
He's right, exactly. And then they fired the guy for it.
Yep.
And that's the ultimate discrimination. I'm trying to understand, like legit now, this is how this starts, right? They first promote it on TV and normalize it, and then the court fights happen. What would you say? What would their argument be? How could you tell them no? They can't all be married together. How could you say no to them? What would you say? It's only two people.
It's only two people.
That's what it is?
Yeah. You can't. Come on. It's going to get ridiculous.
Because I agree, because otherwise if it's three people, then I'm going to say why not four people?
Yeah.
Why not five? It's
Why
me and
12?
My 10 wives.
Right.
Oh,
now you get like communes.
And my 10 mothers-in-law.
Sounds like hell.
Yeah.
Right?
But they might help with the laundry.
Now polygamy is not legal in anymore. I've always said it should be because the government should not be involved. Hans Ben Sober says that on Twitter, too. You want to get married to six people, get married to six people. Knock yourself out, right? But what's funny about it, of course, is that this is not a religious thing. This is a preference to live a lifestyle, right?
Right.
I would think the polygamy argument would probably hold better up in court because they could say you're discriminating against our religious beliefs.
Ay, ay, ay.
I'm telling you, this is coming.
No way.
This is 100% way. First, it begins with the desensitization on television and movies. There'll be a big Hollywood movie coming out, and there'll be three main characters, and they'll all fall in love at the end and run away together. Greg knows I'm right.
I can see it. It's happening. Like somebody's making that movie as we speak.
Do we have more of the throuple from HGTV?
In this country, of course, you can only be married to one other individual. And so we joined with Angelica in a commitment ceremony we held in Aruba a few weeks ago. This has nothing to do with church and state. It's a commitment between the three of us. We're all equals in this relationship.
They've left the kids back home in Texas with their grandparents and are staying in a vacation rental while they hunt for a home.
Do you think our new neighbors will come over and like hang out? It's going to be like, hi, we're a throuple.
Would you
like to come over to our house? But not sound so creepy.
That was very creepy.
Wow. Now, would you hang out with the throuple, Greg, on this weekend?
Sure.
Why
Absolutely.
Not?
Absolutely. Sounds like a party.
You wouldn't hang out at the Thrupple's house?
No, it's just... You know,
everybody in the
kids.
Spring Dance hot tub.
Right. No.
Right.
No. That's why I got my hot tub in my own backyard.
What do you bring to a Thrupple housewarming party is my question.
It gets really... It gets complicated.
Yeah, this is complicated.
Very complicated. And then, of course, you know, after 7 years, what you get at a Thrupple after 7 years, who even knows, you know? And then the Thrupple divorce, which will happen. Right? Because then, you know, it'll be the Thrupple divorce. Two of them want to stay married, but the one wants to divorce from the other two.
What a mess.
So then they'll leave, and then the other two will be together, and then, see what I mean? And then you have to split. Imagine the poor kids would have to go to three different houses.
Right.
If they all
three
broke up.
Three different holiday Christmases.
Yeah, three Christmases.
Or, you know, what? Yeah.
Three, but three sets of grandparents. Three sets of, careful, baby.
Okay, that's a benefit.
Right?
So I just typed into YouTube because I wanted to get more audio of this, and I just typed in HGTV Thrupple, and there are tons of episodes of different things. Raising my kids with two husbands. What are your Thrupple ruse?
Come on.
# extreme love. Being polyamorous and Christian is not a sin. Couple who fell in love with another woman is now live as a polyamorous Thrupple. SWNSTV. There's all kinds of shows on this right now.
Mr. Safety tweeted out that last year on the network show SWAT, the girl who is a member of the SWAT team joined a married couple in a relationship. I'm telling you right now, and I'm never wrong about this stuff, write it down. This is the next big social fight that's going to come to our country.
Yeah,
mark
because,
my words.
Because, I mean, we've come so far with all this. So it's like, what's left?
Right.
What's left for the social justice warriors to fight for?
The right to be a thruple.
Yes.
And then what they'll say is, but we're going to end it at three. And then the quadruples will come out. And then they'll want it.
What about
their
us?
Rights. What about us? Dawn, I'm telling you, this is the next culture war. We haven't had a good culture war in some time.
Yeah, you
thought the culture wars were over, right? Like you thought with the decision in the Obergefell case, what was it, the gay marriage case, right?
Right.
You thought that was the end of it. Like, no more social, no more culture wars. But nope, coming to a door near you.
Then you're going
to
have
thruples.
You're going to have a baker in Denver who doesn't want to make a wedding cake for three.
Exactly.
Lady in Alabama who won't issue the marriage license.
Yeah, we have to go to Denver again. Oh. And Jack Phillips they're going to want him to make three cupcakes. And he's going to say no.
Three cupcakes.
I'm not baking three cupcakes. And then they're going to sue him. And then they're going to come down on him. And he's going to have to defend his right to not bake three cupcakes. Or three wedding cakes.
Oh, my goodness.
Mark my words. This is the next big social justice battle. I said this years ago when that Showtime show came out. And you know what they told me, Dawn, at the time? They said, you're crazy. That Showtime, it's not mainstream. And I said, but wait, it's going to go mainstream. You don't get more mainstream than HGTV. HGTV is on in doctor's offices every day in this country. Right?
Yeah.
You don't get more mainstream than that. And kids watch HGTV with their parents all the time.
My kids love HGTV.
And I'm telling you, somebody in someone's school has three parents. I guarantee it. And then you get into three visitation rights and then three notes, three permission slips.
And just to be clear, you are, if I know you, like you're a live and let live guy. You don't care.
Oh, I don't care.
You want to
make your life even more complicated? Go for it.
But you're just saying this is next to come down.
Yeah, this is the next culture. I'm telling you right now, Mark, damn it to hell, I'm not wrong on this stuff.
Well, I mean, we must have made that bet, five or six years ago.
Yeah. I'm just amazed. I'm actually, it jumped into the mainstream culture quicker than maybe I thought it would. But then again, the social justice warriors were a little bit like, all right, we're bored. What are we going to do?
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's so much freedom here that it's like, what's left to fight for?
Yeah, what's left to complain about? We want to be a thruple. All right, yeah. Sure, get that going.
That's what I said. Thruple.
Yeah, if you want to complicate your life with two wives and you want to do that, hey, knock yourself out. I'm telling you right now, though. You are an insane person. You're an insane person.
Well, see, I will say, remember Big Love, the show Big Love?
Yeah. Yes.
The sister, a part of me loves the sister wife concept because they help with childcare and laundry.
Right.
So that's nice.
That's very nice to do that, to have more wives
laundry.
To work in the home. That's what Bernie Sanders appreciates that.
Yes.
Oh, no. You know, more wives and more chores around the house. That's what he likes. John is in Philly. John, good morning.
Good morning. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear, John. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I used to watch Big Love, too, and I used to get Ajita watching Bill Paxton with all these women. It was, like, insane.
Hey, you have to go house to house. It was crazy, right?
It was crazy. But you're 100% right. This is absolutely going to be a thing. I call it the next step in the evolution of craziness. People are marrying cats today. How are we not going to accept them marrying another person? It's going to happen. No doubt. Like you say, the minority always wins out. Always.
Because how do you make an argument in court that you can't be married to two people? Like, what's the basis of that?
What,
right? I mean, under the ruling that they made in Obergefell, there's no way to say no to that. I'm telling you right now. What do you say? How do you say no?
You don't. You're 100% right. You're crazy, but...
John, thanks for the call, bud.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. You're welcome. I made that bet. I'm gonna get that bet.
You want
steak dinner?
You want a little more on this?
Sure, why not?
I'm just glad we're moving out here, starting a new, basically our next chapter of our life. The past 4 years, I've been living in Lori and Brian's house. So buying a house together as a thruple will signify like our
first
next
of all. Can I just say for the record, the word thruple is so freaking annoying.
It's awful.
It's annoying
it
as hell.
Is. Yeah. They needed to come up with a different.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a take on couple, but it's an annoying word.
Yes.
Thruple. Remember the Congresswoman Katie Hill was in a thruple.
She was.
Right. She resigned. She was in a thruple. But they can't say threesome because that's more of an activity on the weekends than it is an actual.
It's not an activity on the weekend.
No, that's like being a social smoker or a social drinker. That's completely different.
Right.
Not
exactly.
That I'm condoning it because my kids might.
No, you're not condoning. No. You're
I'm just saying.
It's societal commentary.
Well, the fact that there is a name for it brings even more validity to your point that this is going to be the next thing.
You know, the next thing is going to be the show, the kids show, where John has three parents.
Oh, yeah.
Like you know that's coming.
Yes.
Yeah. And then there's going to be a big fight about that show.
Yep.
And then this is how these things happen. This is how these culture wars start. We haven't had a good culture war.
It's true. It's true. No, you're 100% right. It's 100% right.
This is crazy.
Bill, as a millennial,
yes.
What is your take on the thruple movement?
I'm actually, like, it's odd, but I'm with you on the live and let live. But I would not be shocked as soon as, like, millennials and Gen Z or whatever it is that are younger than us, they're going to start protesting in, like, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Just start doing
it. Yeah.
By the way, on Facebook, Max says there was a feature by the CBS show SWAT on a thruple, and I'm pulling the clip now because it's 100% true, and it was back in 2018.
See? I know these things. I call these things years before they happen. I have this amazing ability to figure this stuff out. It's amazing. It's amazing to me.
I would love to hang out with them, though. They seem like nice people.
They seem like very nice people.
No,
yeah.
Very nice. Here's the thing.
Bring a bottle of wine.
This is
No. You bring three bottles
just,
of wine.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
What are you thinking about,
you bring a magnum of wine is what you bring. You know?
Here's the thing.
And by the way, in a few years, we won't be able to make jokes like this.
No.
Right.
No, this.
Right. I'm telling you right
it's
now.
Not fun.
Get it out of your system now, because in a few years, we'll get the HR memo about the thruple jokes.
That's true. We'll be fired.
Right?
Here's the thing, though. This is why they shouldn't do marriage licenses, because they're hijacking a religion. You know what I mean? They
right.
should just keep it all separate if they're going to let and live and let live. You know what I mean? Just
well, they went to Aruba to get their commitment ceremony.
Oh my
Lovely
goodness.
There, by the way.
Aruba.
Mark my words. Write this down. It's February 14th, 2020. Okay, in a few years, a talk show host will be fired for making a thruple joke. Mark, write it down.
I don't know what to
and
do, so I'm purelling.
And most likely it's going to be me.
No.
Yeah, it'll be me, because I always cross the line.
You'll get a stern talking to.
I've already got a stern talking to. Yes, Greg.
Daniel J says, I can't find a plus one for me to be in a couple, let alone be part of a thruple.
Well, and then the other question then becomes the dating sites.
Yes.
So I met my wife on eHarmony.com, for example. Will there be Ooh. Like eHarmonies.com
oh.
or is there a thruple.com if you want to join a...
Or a quadruple.
And then what about the people, the five? I want five. Where are their rights? See, I bet you there already is. Bill, see if you can find a website that has that if you want to be part of that.
Can I sign a waiver first so I don't get fired?
When I was a teenager, I babysat for this couple that everybody in the neighborhood said they did swaps with another couple.
Oh, yeah.
But I never said a word.
You never said a word.
To this
you kept
day,
it. You see, you're very, very loyal like that.
Yes.
But to your point, Dawn, that's more like golf. That's a recreational
activity.
Yeah,
that's like golf this is on a, the weekend.
Yeah, this is,
the 19th hole.
This is living your life with two wives.
Oh, man.
Wow, and two mothers-in-law and two gifts on Valentine's Day and two birthdays and two anniversaries. What guy can afford this is my question in these in these economic times. Well, Trump's economy. You see now the economy is so strong under President Trump.
I mean,
that he's incurred that thrumples are now forming.
He should bring them out for his next campaign rally. Be like, look how good the economy is. Look at these three.
Excuse me. Years ago, a guy would be like, I can only afford one wife. Now, under Trump, the economy is so good, two wives.
They're buying a vacation home.
Wait a minute. More women than ever are working. So maybe it's the women can afford two husbands, okay?
You know what, Dawn? You're right. Thank you for correcting my old sexist attitude.
It's maybe three women, one man, you know, or something.
So the dream then is to be the kept guy in the thruple. The two working wives, and you're the kept guy at home.
Yeah. In your short shorts at home.
God.
I'm amazed, but not amazed, and I can't wait until the time in the future when they sit down and go, your thruple jokes are offensive.
Yes.
And they're not now, right? They're not, I'm allowed to make jokes today.
Yes.
But get it out of your system now, because in a few years, I'll be the first talk show host fired for my thruple jokes.
There'll be a protected class.
There'll be a protected class. There'll be a movement for this. There'll be that. They'll have to join the letter.
LGBT. Is that what the T stands for?
No, the T is not, but maybe it should be. Maybe they should.
Oh, yeah, it's trans.
Yeah, it's thruple, so you got a TH.
Yeah.
TH, maybe, I don't know, LGBTQ, TH, I don't know.
So, Rich.
Yes, Bill.
I already found seven.
Seven
websites that promote polygamy in some fashion.
Don't click on anything. It's against corporate policy.
Click on those websites, please.
Would you like to hear a few?
Oh, no.
How has this all been happening and I've been unaware that this was going on? The other thing, too, is what I'm trying to figure out is, at what point did this become a thing where they went, we're going to make this a characters on a TV show because there's enough people that care about the character, that identify with the characters?
Yep.
Is this a thing? I know my job is to know what's going on in the world. Am I totally missing this?
People like to see TV shows because they can see themselves in characters.
Right.
So obviously they're not going to bring in characters who parts of the audience don't see themselves in. So obviously it's a big enough audience that they're have HGTV shows, right?
Or is this the agenda goes, well, first we start with HGTV, then CBS, then this, then this, then this, then we have the march. Then we have the thruple march in D.C. On the link on the Washington Monument.
It'll be a new take on Three's Company.
You know what? That's brilliant, Greg. That's brilliant. Three's Company was ahead of its time.
It was.
That's right.
Right? It was ahead of its time. This version of Three's Company, they'll do a remake, and it'll literally be a thruple.
Yep.
And it'll be an NBC sitcom probably this fall. Mark my words, kids.
What network would take it? CBS, NBC?
Oh, they would be fighting for it. Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah. If you were to propose that, the Three's Company remake, but they're a thruple, the big three networks would kill themselves to have it, right?
But Netflix will get it.
But Netflix will get it. Because they're and it'll be the battle of who's woke enough to show that on TV.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that's gonna be the next thing. The next thing in woke is because everybody's accepted now. Like a gay man is running for president, right? So now it's like that's boring. So now the next thing in woke is gonna be who's gonna be the first to accept the thruple.
Yep.
Right? That's gonna be the new woke.
Yep. That's true.
Yeah.
See what you learn on this show?
We've come so far as a country, and there's only what's next? The thruple.
The thruple. And how woke are you? Are you pro-thruple? And then the thruples welcome here signs will be on restaurants and bars. Dawn's shaking her head. I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
It's just a lot of drama.
This is a lot of drama.
It's a lot of drama.
Oh, my God.
The grass. I'm just going to give thruple advice. The grass always looks greener. You know what I mean?
Rich.
Yes, Greg.
Brian Pfeiffer on Twitter is requesting Megaphone Bernie's comments on the thruple.
Oh. Okay. Here we go.
I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't.
Here's the deal. These broads. One's enough, all right? Here's Bernie's rule.
Come on.
But if you're going to have more than one, you might as well get a lot of them and have a commune.
No.
What's up at two? Get like 20 and have a commune like Manson,
my people back in Russia. And then they can do laundry and taxes and whatnot. And we got them at young. I start them at 18 and then, you know, age them out.
No. Megaphone Bernie, you're 78.
This purple is the size of Rhode Island, purple.
You're 78 years old, sir. Please.
You come there at 18, you leave at 30. And thanks for the memories.
No, they could be your grandchildren.
We're going to have a commune is what we're going to have right here. My new show, Bernie's Babes, coming to a network near you. I say, why stop at two?
Is that, that's kind of what Bernie would say.
Megaphone Bernie would say that.
Megaphone. Megaphone Bernie would be. Now, let's see. Al is in South Jersey. Yes, Al, your thoughts on this, Al.
Oh, hey, guys. Great show. Rich, you're usually really good at seeing the long game and the big picture, but you missed this one. This is the big wedding industrial complex.
Yes! Bravo! You're right. It's big wedding. Oh, it's big wedding behind
big
this.
Wedding. It's big wedding. You get more dresses, more invitations. Everything's bigger.
More tuxedos, right?
More tuxedos. This is big wedding, man. Those corporate gougers.
Those corporate bastards, man. They're all behind this. Al, thank you for that, by the way. This is going to be, you know, that's brilliant. And this is going to be this, ready? It's going to be like.
I told you, fossil fuel hates me. Big pharma hates me. Big wedding hates me, too, because I'm anti-thruple. Bernie, everybody hates me, and now they hate me, too. Big, so let's go through this. The fossil fuel, big pharma, big fuel, big soda, big cigarettes. And now big wedding.
Yeah.
They all hate me. They all hate the Bernie. But I'm pro big wedding. I say a minimum of five wives.
No.
Minimum. That's what Bernie needs on his private jet.
That's it. Big wedding. I love it. It's brilliant. Oh, man. I can't wait for this fight. I hope I'm still on the air when this big culture battle begins.
I don't know if we'll be on the air after.
Today. Well, today could be the last show, too. Yeah. Oh, man. 855-839-1210. By the way, Mike Bloomberg in 2013 called the NAACP an outright disgrace for opposing his soda ban. That is, of course, the national. National. How do you say what are the letters of the NAACP? The National Association of the Advancement of Colored People. Yes, that is. I hate to say it because it's sort of like an outdated. I'll get in trouble for saying it on the air now. But that's the NAACP. So Mike Bloomberg, 2013, cut one.
For them to do this is just such an outright disgrace. How they can look themselves in a mirror knowing they are hurting deliberately the life expectancy and the quality of life for the people that they're supposed to serve.
All right. Wow. Mike Bloomberg did not like the fact that he was trying to tell poor black people how to live their lives and they didn't like it.
Yeah.
Let's explain exactly what that is, right?
Yep.
Mike Bloomberg was trying to tell poor African-American people had to live their life because he knew better than them, and he wanted to take soda away from them, and he didn't like the fact that they didn't like him telling them what to do. So he's white-splaining to the NAACP. White-splaining about the NAACP not liking the fact that he's trying to tell them how to live their lives. Go ahead.
For them to do this is just such an outright disgrace. How they can look themselves in a mirror knowing they are hurting deliberately the life expectancy and the quality of life for the people that they're supposed to serve.
Now, this, of course, comes after Mike Bloomberg was caught on Mike saying we stop whites too much and minorities too little, saying that you need to throw them up against the wall, young black men, throw them up against the wall, that the MO of a criminal could be any 18 to 25-year-old young black man, that the neighborhoods of the worst crime are the black neighborhoods, and that's why we have to send the cops there, and yes, we do have to arrest them for having pot. These are the comments of Mike Bloomberg. These are the Mike Bloomberg comments. These are the things that the Democrat frontrunner, and I believe nominee, is going to be he's going to be the nominee. This is the things he said. This is what he's been saying. Now, this is CNN's Anna Navarro. I have a question. Why this is not offensive to people is my question. Why she's allowed to say this? Because if I said this, I'd lose my show. If I said this, I'd be fired. If I said what fake Republican Anna Navarro said, Anna Navarro, who says she's a Republican operative, I've been in politics my entire career, Republican politics. I've never met anyone in their life who ever said, just hired Anna Navarro to help my campaign. Look at me. I'm going to win. Never had that, but now fake Republican Anna Navarro on CNN, cut nine.
For somebody to define Donald Trump as the man, the masculine man on the stage. The masculine man on the stage, listen, he's a draft dodger. This is a guy who wears more pancake makeup than any drag queen I ever saw. This is a man whose hair is dyed. This is a man who, you know, allegedly gets spanked with a folded up magazine by a stripper. So I don't know what the definition is of masculinity or being a man.
Can I ask a question?
Man.
Can I honestly, I have to ask a question because, again, I don't know the rules. When you say he wears more pancake makeup than a drag queen, is that not an offensive comment?
Yeah, I think that's not politically correct.
It's, right, right.
To
so,
say.
So if I said it, what would I would be in trouble? We'd all agree I'd be in trouble,
yes.
Right?
Okay. That's not an acceptable thing to say nowadays.
I mean, you know,
technically,
we've all been on the other side of what you've gotten in trouble for. So
yeah.
You would definitely get in trouble for this.
Yeah.
But she's allowed to say it.
Yes.
She's allowed to say it on CNN. I'm just trying to understand the rules. I'd also like to understand. I'd like to give you your moment of civility today. For this, we'll turn to the moron Ted Lieu from California. Idiot. D idiot. That's what it should say. Instead of DCA for California, you say D idiot. Ted Lieu from California. This is your moment of civility. Cut 10.
So, you know, the question becomes, and I wonder if this is just unbelievably frustrating for you and your fellow Democrats. What do you do about it? Right. There have been people who have suggested, well, it is possible to impeach an attorney general, but obviously it's never been done before. We saw where things went with the president's impeachment. I mean, what do you think about impeachment and what do you do if you believe that Bill Barr is using DOJ as the president's personal law firm?
Right. So other than Senator Mitt Romney, all the Senate Republicans are basically a quivering mass of jello. They're simply going to bow down and kneel before Donald Trump. As a result, the only folks who can now hold Donald Trump accountable are the American people in November. And my view is the House Judiciary Committee, in which I sit, needs to continue to expose the misconduct and outrageous behavior of the administration so the American people can have the information they need before they vote.
Republicans are a quivering mass of jello. That is the civility, the bipartisan civility that you get from Democrats today. A quivering mass of jello. Got it? Very, very good. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. The comments on social media over this Thruple stuff are amazing, by the way. Keep them coming. They're absolutely amazing. It's probably our best day on social media ever yet. Some of the comments are absolutely downright hysterical. And my favorite has to be Snow Bunny Girl, who said, God, I hope my husband isn't listening to the show right now. He's probably on Match.com right now creating an account for us. Hashtag Thruple. I just have to laugh so hard at that. Doug Weber's new book title, I Have Two Mommies and Three Daddies.
That would be a wow.
That's coming. One kid's going to come home from school and go, oh, yeah, so Johnny's, you met his mom and dad? No, I met his mom and his three dads.
What? So a quadruple is four. What's five?
Quintet?
A quintet.
A quintet, I believe. Yeah. At some point, they're going to have to register as a band, I believe. Or orchestra, yeah. I believe. At some point.
The school, you know, has a contact person. They're going to go, we just want one contact.
Just one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.